are stories told by Andrew Isaac and translated by Alice Breen. My grandfather, Chief Isaac, was born downriver at Tanana Village. When he reached a young man's age, his family moved to Tsekritlar, Boat Bottom, which is at the head of Gila River now. They lived at Joseph Village for a time. The Indian name of the village is Jeezendeeg, Camp Robber Creek. A creek runs through that area and was called Jeezendeeg, Camp Robber Creek. From there, a trail goes to Tashuk Nishlekendeeg, Icy Creek. It was a trail used a lot for moving families to and from their hunting and trapping grounds. That's where I was born. It's located between Joseph Village and Ketchumstock. I was born on a ridge. Snow all over the ground in a camp shelter made from spruce trees, and it was all banked with snow. When Harry Luke's father heard that I was born, he said to his people, "I had lost a son, and I miss him so much. I would like to name this new baby boy. We will call him Ando Andrew," he said. He sent that message to Ketchumstock Village, where my folks were living. I was named Andrew at a very young age by an old chief from Lake Mansfield. My grandfather, Chief Isaac, was a relative of this old chief. Also, four brothers of great chiefs lived in the Mansfield area. One lived at Tacheg Fish Camp, one at Thechi Rocky Point on Lake Mansfield. It's a rocky point that goes out into the lake, one at Sam Lake, Chinchel, a sharp hill downriver. One lived at Tatsantuch, Raven's Nest. He was the oldest of the four brothers who were chiefs. The one that lived at Techi, Rocky Point, in later years was not very well thought of by the people. Also, a couple of men that went into the area that he lived never returned home. He was suspected of killing them, so the people were very afraid of him. The people then had a meeting among themselves. Something had to be done about him. This could not go on anymore. The people should live peacefully, but could not as long as he lived. So a plan to end his life was made and followed through. After his death, the news of his death had to be taken to his brothers, which was not easy to do. The people were afraid of just how they would take the news. First, they went to their brother, who lived at Tacheg. Part of the trail follows the creek to his camp. Along this creek, they unload their packs, many packs. The packs were full of high-valued gifts. He was outside, busy working on a new bow and arrow, when his wife said to him, "My, I wonder why so many people are coming down along the creek." He looked up at his wife, thought for a bit, and said, "They do not come like that for nothing." Something sad has happened. And they bring us sad news. I'm sure of that, he said. Soon the people came across the bridge, and next thing there were people all around them. We have come with sad news for you, they told him. Then they told him of his brother's death. The people said, we want to know what your feelings are, and let us know. With his face down, he was very quiet and did not say anything. Again, they repeated, we have sad news of your brother's death, your great loss. It was then he spoke these words. The great loss, you say, is mine. Oh, no, it's not only mine. His death is your great loss also. With this what you have done, I only have this to say. I have worried all this time and lost many nights of sleep because of the way he was. Now I can go to sleep and worry no more. At this point, everyone started to cry. He kept on shaving on the bow that he was making, with tears running down his face. One of the men asked that all the packs that were left on the trail along the creek be brought in now. There were muskloaded shotguns and many other high-valued gifts. While he was sitting there, the people took the gifts and piled it all around him. The story goes that the pile of gifts was high above his head. At this point, he really cried very hard. He said, you should not have done this, but being the tribe that you come from and good people that you are, I understand. It's as if you have put your good reputation around my neck to wear. Then all speeches were made and gotten over. They told him then, after all the leaves have fallen this fall, we want you to come to Mansfield. That fall, the people invited him. After this was done, they went to another brother who lived at Tatsantuch, Raven's Nest, and did the same there, bringing gifts along with the bad news of his brother's death. This brother at Tatsantuch, Raven's Nest, had a son who went to Tanana with his relatives. There he met a girl who fell in love with him. When it came time for him to return home, she would not let him go. So he was left behind to marry her. He stayed with her and the people of Tanana all winter. Next spring, he came home to Tatsantuch, Raven's Nest. There he worked on things for his old father. He rebuilt the fence, a large one. There also was a hill called Sethahintigdel, Sand Creek Hill. The caribou fence was all along there. A trail follows this fence and on to Tatsantuch, Raven's Nest. The people with the sad news came over this trail but the old man was not home. He had gone to check his caribou fence. While his son was home, he packed in a lot of wood for his father. He would pack it on his shoulder and pile it very high as his house. After getting everything done, he went back to Tanana and his wife. On the way down to Tanana, he got very sick, and he had a pain in his chest. He had a hard time to reach Tanana. When he got inside of his cabin, he said to his wife, "I won't be with you long. My poor father, please let him know what has happened to me." He died after he said this. The people from Tanana were afraid of the boy's father, so they did not tell him of his son's death for 2 years. On the third year, they decided to tell him. All of the Tanana people came with their packs loaded with gifts for the potlatch. They arrived at Lake Mansfield first, so that they could ask Mansfield people to go with them to bring the news to the old man about his son's death. Before this, his brother was killed too, so they were afraid of how he would react to all of the bad news. He was the oldest of the chiefs. It was springtime, and the old man was outside working on an axe handle. His wife was the first to spot a long line of people coming over the hill. "I wonder why so many people," she said to him. A sad look came over the old man. He said, "They come because something has happened. That many people do not come for nothing. My son is still gone since he went back. We have not heard from him. I have a feeling something is wrong. My youngest brother, who lives at Tatke, and I have not heard from them." Two sad news came together at this time. His son has died, and his brother was killed. No one said anything more. They just started to drop their big packs one by one as they came in and kept stacking and piling their packs. Among these people, there was a man who was his brother-in-law and his best friend. This good friend came right up to him first. He made the first speech. "Your brother at Thierry, Rocky Point, was killed. That is why these people have come to see you." This brother at Tatsanto repeated the same thing as the first brother had said, word to word. "Now I can sleep and worry no more." At this point, everyone cried. Then they said to him, "You have lost a brother. Should you think of doing anything with yourself? All these piles and piles of gifts that were brought to you, you can lay under yourselves. Then over that, you can put the rope around your neck." These were very strong words. He, being a strong, wise chief, he won't hang himself. After strong words like this, the old-time training way. This brother-in-law and best friend came up to him then and put an old-time necklace, jinkon, around his neck. It was wide and long. He said to the old man, "My brother-in-law, I want you to live on with me. That's why I do this." The old man reached out and took his hands and said, "My friend, I have not heard from my son in a long time, and you give me this necklace." Without anyone telling him the news of his son's death, he knew. He fell to the ground and cried. The people said, "Yes, your son also died very suddenly." So these people over here, pointing to the Tanna people, have come to see you for your son. They were afraid to come alone, so they asked us, Lake Mansfield people, to come here with them. This old chief's name was Tatsantuchetay, Raven's Nest old man. He truly was a good, honest man, a very strong man, and very smart. He was our grandfather's leader. He was looked up to. Today there is no one living among us that could measure up to him or his family. I'm very proud to be one of their great grandsons. Today there are two great granddaughters from these four great chiefs still living among us. Annie Thomas Denny, my wife Maggie Walter Isaac. These two women were brought up the old-time way. When my grandfather, Chief Sam Thomas, spoke, we had to be very quiet. I respect to a great leader, so that we could put into our minds the things good and important we should know about and pass on to our children and the world. The world benefits by this too. The Indian ways will be changing in time, and I'm sad. I have so many relatives. The old man Chief Northway at Northway Village also has many relatives. I wonder what will happen to them when we are gone. When we were young, it was nothing to walk to Tetlin and other villages checking on our relatives. Also, we had good friends like Paul, Joe, and Chief Peter. A good bed and meals always ready for us. They shared their food like meat, ducks, fish, everything with us. We too did the same when they came to our village. Chief Peter was a chief at Tetlin. He was a very kind man. I said to him once, "My grandfather, the great chiefs are all gone, and I'm sad. I feel like an orphan." He said, "No, don't ever feel or say that. We are put here for a reason. You too are put here for a good reason. Watch for it and put it to good use. Today I'm called traditional chief. I do not know my English well, so I really do not know what that meant. But recently I was told what it meant, that it was an honor and good. This made me feel good. I felt as if I'm standing in the path that my grandfathers took. The four great chiefs I told you about. I hope I was able to please them." Their nephew, Chief Sam Thomas of Lake Mansfield, and my grandfather, Chief Isaac of Ketchumstock and Joe Village, were great chiefs too. I met Grandma down at Holy Cross not long ago. She was a relative of my grandfather, Chief Isaac, a very old lady. She heard I was coming. She was waiting for me. I walked in, and Grandma started to cry. I've never heard Grandma cry like that in a long time. She could not see well. She felt of my arms and legs. Chief Isaac was my brother, she said. I heard that he died and his son took his place. And now you have been a leader to your people, too. I'm proud of you, she said. You took your grandfather's place and kept their names up. I give you my blessing, she said. Old people told me this story about a tribe in our area, a tribe called Naltzin. Since before our time, they were well known, and great news were handed down about them. The oldest tribe known. They were high people, so respected that no one got in their way or embarrassed them in any way. It was unheard of to mistreat a Naltzin. Naltzin was the highest Indian tribe, and right now, all kinds of people name themselves. They do not know for sure what they are, not like the Naltzin people of Dichthar, Lake Mansfield people. With the coming of white people and changes, these things that are important and true are not kept up by some like they should. The other tribes respect the Naltzin tribe. This too was handed down. Even Tatlachtin, Copper River people, respect the Mansfield people. Mansfield people were their good friends. Your grandfather, Old Sam, Chief Sam Thomas of Lake Mansfield, was a good leader. He was respected by many from all over and looked up to because of the tribe he was and also what he did for his people. Different tribes did not talk about them. They could not do this. It was wrong, and people of different tribes were afraid to do so. My grandfathers from that area lived up to their background. Other tribes did not practice this as strictly as the Naltzin of Dichthar, Lake Mansfield people. They looked after the poor. When they talked about Dichthar people, they would mention important places, names that represent respect, strength, and honor, such as Natenghu Marmot Tooth, located in the Alaska Range near Tanacross Village, a high, sharp peak on the top of the mountain. That Indian name was the biggest name known. They would bring this name out during speeches and when they spoke of the Naltzin tribe. Other great names are Masin Tzitzig, a small hill located at the old village of Dichthar, Mansfield Lake. Dichthar was often used at speeches. On this small hill are graves, very old graves. Harry Luke's father and son are buried there, plus other old graves. It is not good to talk about people or a person. We have to know them all real well. We could say something about a person that could be very wrong. This would be very bad and poor taste. The Dichthar people used to talk to the young people about this many times. Some of the things they did, if someone said something bad, said bad things, they would be invited to a potlatch. There they had oil that they would make those people or persons drink. A large pan of fish oil or bear grease would be served by cupfuls. They would ask for the person or persons that treated someone very badly when they visited their village or said something bad. Even an old poor orphan deserves a kind treatment. It was wrong to do what they did or said. They would take the pan of oil up to the guy who treated someone badly. Right in front of everyone, they would make him drink the oil. Sometimes, right out of the pan, cup or a large wooden spoon. In those days, they meant what they said. If you don't take the pan and drink it, there would be trouble started. A fight could start among them. Sometimes the oil would make them vomit. They would take them outside. After being outside for a while, they would say, "Bring them back in." While they are laying there on the floor, they would bring them blankets, guns, and give them potlatch. After they get up, they would tell them, "Don't you ever treat anyone like that when you have a visitor in your village." Sometimes an old chief would jump up and argue. The speeches go on until one of them gives up and all is forgiven. If they do not come to some kind of an agreement, it could go on to make more trouble, possibly fights. They would make them ashamed so that they won't ever forget what they did. Then the potlatch starts. The chief who lost in the speech got beat in the speech, would receive gifts. "Now go and be kind," they would tell them. I seen them give grease in Lake Mansfield, Tetlin, even my father's people. All of his brothers drank oil at Tetlin at one time. It's very strong, made out camp and put into caribou stomach bags. Later heated in big pan and ready to serve. The caribou bag is also used to keep dry meat and grease, pemmican. They would pound the dry meat with a special rock that did not chip or crack. I see my grandfather use this special rock. After the meat is pounded soft, it was put into the caribou stomach bag. The grease is poured over the whole thing. The caribou stomach bag is used as a storing bag for food. It was always cleaned and washed very clean before using. They would use birch bark baskets the same way. They would fill the baskets with berries and pour oil over it. Very large baskets they were and did not leak. It's all sewn together with spruce roots. The willow roots were used too. They made handles on them too, so you could carry it by the handle if need to. The willows you heat before working with it. After it's heated, it makes a sizzling noise and steams. When they cool down a bit, you can use it. Bend them, tie with them. They are easy to work with and won't break then. They also kept dry meat, fat, berries underground. They did this in late September. The food would keep real well this way. Fear and courage. The Indian way of trying not to fear. When you see a bear, keep your mind clear and don't get scared to where you might do something foolish. Old Indian ways, when we see a grizzly, we don't get excited. Don't move, stand still and watch him. He will stop too. He will watch you and see if you move. Our way of believing is, if we run into the grizzly, and run, he will know we are scared of him. We are giving him a chance to attack us if we run from him. If we stand still, he will stand too. It's not easy to do this, as he looks very mean and terrible. But we must be still. We can't run as fast as he can, so best not to run. Our Indian way of teaching is, when you go out in the brush to hunt, you spot a bear on the hillside. You'd like to get this bear. But the more you're thinking, you are not sure and feel a little uneasy to try. Indian way is, don't ever go after a bear with this feeling. You will run into trouble. Don't take a chance. That feeling you get tells you he will give you a bad time. Some old grizzlies are very mean. If they get wounded by your shot, he will get up and look for you. If he sees you, he'll come after you. I have been on many hunts when I was small. I had to sit still under brush. No matter how bad it gets, I have to stay under and hide, sit on my knees. If I run, I'm sure to put myself in trouble, even get killed by the bear. A long time ago, when I was a small boy, we had a grizzly attack us. It happened at Long Cabin. Old Chief Thomas and his son, they went down on another trail, which made a circle. So we cut off towards them. My uncle, Chief Walter Isaac, was walking along the creek below us when he ran into a grizzly. The bear ran towards us instead. I was carrying a .22 single shot for birds. My father was afraid I might get scared and excited. So he said, a big moose is running towards us. So be very quiet and hurry. Let's hurry and get over to that open spot on the hillside. See where the big trees are. My father was hurrying along. I kept looking back. Before we knew it, the bear was right there close to us. I remembered what I was taught, so I ducked under some heavy brush by the big trees and kept very still. He was standing right over me, but I kept very still. All this time, my father, who was walking ahead of me, never seen the bear. When my father turned around to look for me, he saw the bear and shot at the bear and hit him in the shoulder. He was wounded. He was biting himself, screaming and rolling. He was moving very fast. My father got in as close as he could and got in a good shot. A head shot, but it killed him. The bear was dead. I came out from my hiding place, but still did not want to go close to where my father and uncle were skinning the bear. My father asked me if I was afraid. I said no. After it was all over, something strange happened to me. My whole body got scared, it seems, but I walked up to the bear with my father and looked at it. After that, my father said, let's go down to the lookout place. When we got there, we could see my uncle walking towards the dead bear, so we started back over to him. When we got about 50 feet from the dead bear, my whole body started to shake all over, and I couldn't think. The men knew what had happened to me. This young boy got very scared. We must get him home, they said. My father left the men to finish skinning the bear and took me home. When we got back to camp, I was worse. I was nervous and afraid of any noise I heard outside of our tent. My grandfather, Chief Sam Thomas, was living there at our camp too. He was a strong medicine man and very kind. My father went to him and told him what had happened to me. My grandfather knew already I was very sick. He said, take something of this boy. A shirt he is wearing will do. Take it to the next camp. There were six families living there. Among them were medicine men, my grandfather's relatives. Tell them to make medicine for this boy, they said. A man named Little Mark made medicine and said, my nephew's mind is still at the site of the bear kill. So take his shirt back to where the bear attacked. Shoot and keep calling the boy by his name over and over. They did this, then came back to our camp. I could hear them coming. I felt good and my mind was clear again. I was happy to see them. I ran out to meet my father. He stopped and put my shirt back on me. I felt just like before, not afraid of anything. That night I went to sleep and rested good. Our people, the medicine people, used to do great things to help their people. Some did tricks. There's a story about an old chief medicine man. His name was Thid. He lived here at Chief Creek many years ago. A big dog fight started. No matter what they did, they could not stop the dog fight. The old man grabbed his old gun, a muzzleloader, and shot over the dogs. Something happened. Something went wrong. He got hurt. A very badly broken jaw and bleeding badly. They tried to stop the bleeding by sucking some of it. It stopped bleeding. They used to do this when someone gets hurt. They don't waste time thinking about everything being clean. They do it right away when someone is bleeding bad. After they suck the blood, they spit it out, then pull the wound together and wrap it. In the old days, they used to take the bark of the old willow and wrap the wound. With it. It's quite slippery, so sometimes they would have to turn it over and use the bark side. It stays in place until the wound heals. We were out hunting many years ago when my cousin got shot in the arm, and I had to clean the wound this way, then tore up his shirt and wrapped his arm. After that, we had to walk 11 miles to get help. Now and then, I would release the wrap. An army truck came by when we reached the road and took him on to Fairbanks Hospital. This is what makes me believe there is truly a God. A man gets injured very badly and walks 11 miles after being shot, and he got well. Look what I have been through with my heart attacks. Believing is what heals. Now it seems everything is nearing the end for some of us. My cousin Annie Thomas Denny is not well. When I hear that her health is failing, I'm very worried. We grew up together and we're very close. She too is the last of those four great chiefs from Lake Mansfield I told you about this afternoon. When she is gone, I do not know what we will do. Relatives are very important nowadays. Most of the people are on the move and lose touch with each other. So the young people, most of them, do not know who they are related to. It's that way all over Alaska. The lady who I mentioned, Annie Thomas Denny, was trained in the old ways. I, too, was trained along with her by the same great leaders. I was with her family a lot of times. Sometimes I would live with them, so I received my early training from her father, Chief Sam Thomas. We were like one family. This is what the word relative means. Today, I encourage the young people to take special interest in their families, people, and what is happening around them. It was a long talk today. I hope I have contributed something helpful and good to my young people through this book. I hope it's a good book when it comes out for the young generation. I would like to dedicate this book to my young growing people of Lake Mansfield.